All right, Alexander, let's talk about the energy situation in the world. We have the closing of Hormuz. We could be having a blockade of Iran. We have strikes which continue into Russia to hit refineries. We have this not so clear situation, at least in my opinion, of what is happening in the Sea of Azov with these ships. Various reports claim that these ships, the number I've heard anywhere between 48 to 13 ships have been attacked. It depends what report you read. But I've heard reports claiming that these ships were oil tankers of the Shadow Fleet. And then I've read other reports claiming that these ships were actually food, grain ships. Ships taking and transporting wheat and food from Russia, but you have an attack on this port in the Sea of Azov in Rostov-on-Don. You have the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserves, which are running very low, and if the conflict with Iran continues, and the U.S. continues to use those SPRs to keep the price of oil down, then they're going to run out within a matter of a couple of months. And you have reports about diesel shortages, because Russia has also stopped the export of diesel. And the European Union is running very low on gas reserves, especially for the winter. You have a Financial Times article which is saying that the European Union has purchased record amounts of LNG from Russia. Well, that's an interesting story. I think an even more interesting story is the fact that Russia sells the European Union LNG, the same European Union that they constantly go on and on about as being the European Union that is at war with them or attacking them, and they're selling LNG to the European Unions. Anyway, a lot of stuff going on. What are your thoughts?
The whole thing is absolutely, everything is mixed up and all over the place. So the European Union has critically low natural gas reserves, apparently. This is what I've heard. The worst that there's been for at least 10 years. I mean, it's very, very depleted reserves of natural gas. As you rightly said, the Russians have stopped exports of diesel. Not again an unprecedented step at this time of year, but it's clearly connected to the Russian government's efforts to stabilize the domestic fuel market. I am as absolutely out of I'm as unfamiliar with the situation in the Strait of in the Sea of Azov as you are. I think there's an awful lot of information war going on about this, and until I've got a proper, understanding of what is really going on in the Sea of Azov, I don't really want to talk about this. But certainly not in this program, because we want to look at the energy situation, as you said. The Strait of Hormuz is closed again. The United States is depleting its strategic petroleum and oil reserves. The European Union is back to buying LNG from Russia, which a few months ago, they said they would stop doing and would stop doing completely by the end of the year. And they are at the same time helping Ukraine to conduct attacks on Russian energy facilities. The Russians, in return, despite these attacks on their energy facilities, are happy to sell LNG to the European Union. All of this is going on, but the big underlying story is that the energy markets are in a very, very troubled way. Nothing is working functionally. The oil market is becoming fragmented and unstable. The natural gas market is becoming fragmented and unstable. There is no LNG being exported from Qatar, for example. So we have, and of course, the Russians have now stopped diesel exports, and there is an already existing worldwide shortage of diesel. And diesel is a critical fuel, refined fuel, because It's what commercial vehicles, it's what industry, it's what ships use. Ships are what carry cargoes around the world. So they depend on diesel. So if there are going to be shortages of diesel, we are going to have major inflationary pressures, big price hikes on everything by the end of this year. Or so you would think. And yet nobody's talking about it. I say nobody. We are talking about it, obviously. You find it squirreled away in a few places. People talking about the situation as well in an increasingly worried ways. But the general mood in Europe, in the United States, appears to be that we could just carry on doing all the things that we have previously been doing. And somehow it will all turn out well in the end. I don't understand this at all. I would have thought that by now, certainly by this point in the summer, the alarm bells, especially in Europe, should be ringing very loud. But there is no evidence that they are, and that there is no evidence at all that anybody's taking any steps to prepare for an energy price crunch, which all the information that you laid out at the start of the program suggests to me is probably coming.
I don't understand what's happening.
I know.
Especially with Europe and LNG and Russia. Yeah. I mean, Ursula and the commission, they have said many times, and they followed it through with action, that they are, by 2027, I believe is the target, they are cutting off all Russian energy, oil, gas, LNG, pipeline, everything's going to be cut off.
Yes.
Like everything. There will be no Russian gas or oil allowed to enter the European Union, whether it's the Turk Stream, whether it's through the one pipeline of Nord Stream that apparently exists, LNG, nothing. They're going to close it all off. And they are working towards closing it all off, even with Slovakia and Fico, who has said, look, we need the Russian energy to survive.
Yeah.
They're saying, we don't care.
Yeah.
We don't care. We're cutting it all off by the end of 2027. Yet at the same time, they're purchasing record amounts of LNG from Russia, as reported on by the Financial Times.
Yes.
While at the same time, the United States and NATO are destroying Russian, or trying to destroy as much Russian energy as possible.
Yes.
And they're not even, maybe they're not even going after only Russian energy, but perhaps they're also going after food exports, which would also cause an increase in prices and inflation.
Yes.
We've already had the price of wheat go up something like 4 or 5%.
Yes.
Brent crude is rising now 4 or 5%.
Yeah.
A lot of it because of Iran, but also because of the energy strikes into Russia and the just the overall energy and oil situation.
Yes.
I mean, none of it makes any sense at all. And you have the statements from the Kremlin, which are clear. Europe is waging a war against us. Well, if they're waging a war against you, and this is so existential, why in God's name are you selling them LNG? So that they can manufacture drones? So that they can hit your energy? It doesn't make any sense.
Well,
to me.
I'll tell you what's happening, because if you're talking about Russia, I personally have no difficulty understanding this. It is an industry. It is an industry thing. Gazprom is a massively powerful, very, very influential company in Russia. Other parts of the Russian energy complex, very powerful as well. They're telling the Kremlin, look, we need to export gas to Europe for at least another year, in order to sort ourselves out before we can redirect exports to China. And the Kremlin needs the money, or wants the money, because they pay a large amount to the Russian budget, and that gives them influence. That's the reality of it. I absolutely agree. I mean, you know, if you are in a full mobilization, war, existential wartime situation, that doesn't make sense. But this is where I come back to what I said after my trip to Russia about the fact that what the Kremlin wants to maintain inside Russia is an atmosphere of normalcy, and it does not want to move towards a full mobilization economy. So until they change that approach, until they decide that that's what they need to do, we will probably see gas exports to the European Union. Assuming the European Union wants to buy them, we will see those continue.
Can I ask a question there about the LNG from Russia that's exported to Europe? Yeah. Is it a significant amount, the Gazprom, the LNG that goes to Europe?
Yes, I think it is. Yes, I think it is. I think it is. It is a significant part of Gazprom's current export trade. Not perhaps quite the same as the budget, but I think for Gazprom itself, and not just Gazprom, because LNG in Russia is also largely private companies who are involved in it as well. And the reason is it's a relatively new industry. It was all built up just before the crises that we saw. So there's been a lot of investment sunk into it. And I think that for the moment, Gazprom and all of these other companies have not yet not nailed down the contracts and agreed to provide the supplies to Asian, which basically means Chinese customers, to some extent Japan too. And I think they're saying to the Kremlin, look, give us some time. We need this. We need to continue to export gas to Europe for the moment. And the Kremlin agrees to this.
It's an easy buyer. It's an easy customer. Europe says, we'll buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's there.
Exactly. Now, as I said, you can argue about the politics of this. You can argue about the economics of this. You can argue about the ethics of this. You can. But having spent quite a lot of time on Russian matters, I can't say that this surprises me or that it is in itself irrational. Individual players are acting rationally in their own interests. Maybe for Russia as a whole, this is not in its interests, but you can see how it might be for Novatek or Gazprom or whoever. It might be in their interests. And for people in the finance ministry and people like that. Where the European Union is concerned, here I have to say I am absolutely baffled. Because to be very clear, if we have another big energy spike on something like the level of 2022 or bigger still, we are now in a much weaker financial fiscal position in Europe. And indeed in the US, supporting companies and consumers through this big energy hike, as was done in 2022, in other words, subsidizing businesses and consumers, as was done then. I mean, it just doesn't look affordable now. And moreover, in 2022, you could argue, I mean, it wasn't real, but people did argue that this would be relatively short term. It doesn't look short term now, especially not when you're saying that you will never import any energy products whatsoever. So doing these things seems to me completely irrational. I mean, it's like you're trying to create an energy shock within your own economies at precisely the moment when your economies are most vulnerable to it. The Americans can absorb this to some extent. I mean, they're an energy producer. They have access to energy from other places, from Venezuela now. I can imagine the Americans are even buying oil from Russia, by the way. I can. But Europe, how does it cope with this?
Well, the U.S. can cope with it, but you know, as we've said, they are running low on their reserves. I mean, it's no secret at all anymore. Everyone understands that Trump was able to keep the price of oil at about 100 during the 60-day conflict with Iran because the U.S. was tapping into their strategic petroleum reserves.
Exactly. Exactly. Right?
They gave waivers to Russia. They even gave waivers to Iran with oil that was seaborne, but they were tapping into the SPR, and that SPR is now very much depleted.
Yes.
You know, some estimates have it at about 2 months if Hormuz remains closed. 2-3 months tops.
No.
So can the U.S., you know, make it if this situation continues? And then you have people like the now deceased Lindsey Graham, who was pushing a day before he died, after he went to Kiev, to tell Zelensky the good news that Trump had greenlit his bone-crushing sanctions idea, which was to place tariffs. We don't know the exact amount, but back in the day when he first came up with the idea, it was 500% bone-crushing. It was 1,000%, and then he took it down to 500% bone-crushing sanctions on countries that sell Russian oil.
Yeah,
that would be China and Russia.
Yeah.
And he finally got Trump to go along with it. So he travels to Kiev. He brings the good news to Zelensky. And the reason that Trump went along with this, when you read the articles that we're reporting on the tariffs, the bone crushing tariffs, is because the Trump administration was saying that they have Iran sorted out and they're no longer afraid of energy shortages. So now they can go ahead with Lindsey Graham's bone crushing secondary sanctions idea. This is stupidity at a peak level. And just because Graham has passed away, I don't think Blumenthal and these other guys are going to give this up.
No, but it is, you're absolutely correct. It is stupidity at peak levels. It is incredible, because there is no reason for an energy shortage at the present time. A few months ago, we were in a situation of an energy glut. We are creating an energy shortage for ourselves, a massive inflation spike. And perhaps I wasn't clear when I said that the United States would come through. I meant that it would not be facing the kind of enormous crisis that Europe is going to be facing. But that doesn't mean that the United States is not going to accept or have or suffer very serious pain. It's neocon geostrategy that has now so completely taken over everything that economic factors are no longer allowed even to intrude or even be discussed. It's the only explanation.
Are they doing this on purpose?
Well, there's going to be some people who will say that they are.
Like, doing this on purpose? Is this a wealth transfer? Is that what this is all about at the end of the day?
A lot of people are going to say this. And of course, the other thing they're going to say is that, of course, this is this is setting up a situation again for Eurobonds, is that no individual country can bail out European industries or European consumers. So you float bonds on the international markets and you do them collectively. So, you know, a Hamilton moment, maybe. So there may be some element of that. The trouble is, somebody still has to pay those euro bonds ultimately. I mean, there is going to be a cost. And that cost is going to come back to the states, to the nation states. The big country that's going to pay those costs will eventually be Germany. So Eurobonds isn't a way of solving the problem. It's simply delaying the costs and making the overall situation in Europe worse still. But anyway, I mean, that may be what this is all about. Maybe this is why they're so relaxed about this, because they are very, very relaxed about it. I mean, nobody in the West is acting as if a serious crisis is coming.
Well, you know, they're relaxed about this because the inflation and the spike in prices doesn't affect them directly. It doesn't affect the globalists directly.
No.
Right? So for them, as long as the money flows upwards, what do they care if the people pay $8 at the pump, or $10 or $12 or $15 or whatever? Well, what do they care?
Well, they don't. I mean, that is the fundamental problem. This is the big issue, because they are not themselves exposed to the economic effects of this. I mean, their wages, their earnings will rise. If we're talking about very rich people, I mean, what will also happen is that interest rates will go up. And that will make rich people even richer, because richer, they're the people, yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, that's so from their point of view, I mean, they're not economically affected. And mechanisms of political accountability, which used to exist in the West and acted as a restraining factor, as we have seen, have completely broken down. So squeeze your populations even further in order to conduct these geopolitical adventures. And it's the geopolitical adventures that ultimately are more important to you than the welfare of your people. Now, this can work for a long time. I mean, it can work for a very long time. I mean, you know, but it is how empires end. Just to say.
Yeah, but it could go on for a very long time. It can go for a
very, very long time. As people say, Rome took a long time to fall.
Yeah. All right, we'll end the video there. TheDuran.locals.com. We're on X, we're on Rumble, we're on Telegram. Go to Durant Shop, pick up some merch. We are also on Substack. All those links are in the description box down below. And we have a summer special on the Durant Shop, 26% off all merchandise. So check it out. Take care.